The following is a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, hi there, everybody. I'm Sean Wood, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show for Tuesday, March the 20th. On today's show, the Black Bandit rides again. Stevie Smith will join us to talk about the upcoming season, including Friday night's opener at the Williams Grove Speedway. And we'll head out west and talk with Bud Keating for some non-wing sprint car and Silver Crown news. That's all coming up next here on the Sprint Car Show on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Brought to you by Rod and Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions, and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, located outside of Turn 2 at the famed Knoxville Raceway. The world leader in suspension technology, Penske Racing Shocks has been providing custom-built, high-performance shock absorbers to all forms of racing for over 20 years. Offering only the highest quality suspension products, Shocks are available in non, single, double, triple, and four-way adjustable configurations. All Penske Racing Shocks are hand-built, tailored to meet a driver's feel or car setup, and dyno-tested, ensuring the highest attention is paid to detail, consistency, and performance. For your short track needs, contact Dave Reedy at Penske Shocks at 610-375-6180. That's 610-375-6180. Penske Racing Shocks are available direct from the manufacturer or through many dealers worldwide. Visit them on the web at www.penskeshocks.com. Penske Racing Shocks, the competitive advantage of champions. And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. Many years ago, I covered this driver when he was driving the 119. Now he's back to having the famed Black Bandit number 19 at traveling across the country and here in central Pennsylvania, formerly from New Oxford, Pennsylvania, now making his home in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. We welcome in Stevie Smith. Stevie, a pleasure to speak with you once again, and welcome to the Sprint Car Show.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. It's great to speak with you and be a part of this, and I always look forward to being a part of the Dirt Track Channel.
Well, last time you and I talked in person, you had just picked up your second win, and it was at the 44th Annual Tuscarora 50, and, you know, you're standing there, you're talking with your dad. Several months later, could you have envisioned that you would be back racing on a full-time basis across the country and bringing Black Bandit back to life?
Yeah, I did have a vision. Actually, Chris Luck and I have we've been friends for a long time. This has been a plan that's finally taken place, and just took him a couple years to get it put together. He was already committed and with doing other things, and so I did have a vision. I did think we'd be back out here, and I'm glad to see that it's all came together.
Now, you have Chris Luck, Chad Clemens, two big names in the world of sprint car racing. Talk a little bit about what each guy brings to the team that's maybe a little bit different from some of the other teams out there. Not slighting them, but what their backgrounds are that they bring to the sport of sprint car racing.
Yeah, it's they bring a lot. Obviously, they make it happen. And I think Chris, like I said, we had plans to do it, and when Chad committed to be a partner, it just got it, launched it. And so it took both, you know, both of these guys. And they bring a lot. I mean, these are businessmen, you know, and Chad has a car, and Chris had a car, and they've both been in racing. And I think they've been wanting to have a second car, and I think that's got them both motivated. I mean, Chris was with Jason, so this was going to be his second car, and Chad's with Fred Raymer, so this was going to be his second car, and this is how it worked out. This is just a new team, and Chris, I don't know Chad well enough to know what he brings. I just know what he does is first class. Chris brings a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of genuine sincerity. He makes a lot of promises to you and fulfills them all. So he brings a different, something that's kind of from the old school where you really feel like you're, and he's like this with everybody, you really feel like you're a part of it. He makes you, you know, he makes you feel a part of it, and he drives, the whole team's motivated. that's what he brings. Now, as far as Chad, I just know he's a what everything he's done's been just, you know, phenomenal. He's when the changes were made, he stuck it out, and he's just been behind it 100%. But I'll get to know him a lot better as we get racing together.
And, of course, you'll be racing together for the first time this coming Friday night and Saturday night. It's the season opener at Williams Grove Speedway, a place you know all too well. And then you head off to Lincoln Speedway on Saturday. What are you most looking forward to about opening up the season on Friday night at the Grove?
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm ready to get started here and try to get a race or two under our belt and then get focused on, you know, racing for the season. You know, it's been a lot of, these guys have put a lot of effort into this, and there's been a lot of hype and a lot of talk, and everybody's kind of anxious. But, you know, as a driver standpoint, I'm on my 26th year, and I feel a little rusty right now, but I'm hoping to knock some of this rust off. So I'm just anxious to get started and get focused and get these first couple nights out of the way.
And looking over the schedule, you're going to be running a number of World of Outlaw races. Before the 1st of July, you'll be running with the All-Stars, including their speed weeks up through the 30th of June. Even though the schedule has not been posted beyond that, I'm sure the Pennsylvania Posse fans would like to know, will they see the Black Bandit here during the Pennsylvania Sprint Car Speed Week late June through early July?
Yes, I think they will. Our plan is to try to run all the All-Star Speed Week and the PA Speed Week. We have a lot of races on our schedule, so I think we're gonna be showing up quite a bit. But if they want to visit theblackbandit.com, our schedule will be posted and everything will be kept up to date, and they'll know what's going on from race to race. So, like I said, it's theblackbandit.com.
We're talking with Stevie Smith from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, of course, the son of Steve Smith, one of the all-time legends here in Central Pennsylvania. Let's go back, Stevie, just for a moment to your very early days when you decided to become a race car driver. Do you remember the conversation you had with your dad about wanting to be a race car driver, and what was his initial reaction?
Well, I was kind of molded to be one. I mean, that's what he was doing. I grew up in the shop. This is, you know, that's all I knew at the time. It was race car, because back then we built the engines and the cars, and I lived in the race car shop. So it never really was a question. It was just, you know, when can we get you started, or Dad, when can I get started? And basically, he wasn't quite moving fast enough for me, so I had to get some of my own people and try to help me get started. He was too busy trying to race his own car, and I had to get motivated, and I finally got, Jeff Creasy was the first guy, and he kind of set me up to get my career started, and he's been a big part of it, and that's how it all took off from him.
What was that like, having to venture out on your own and find the sponsors, find people to back you? You have the name, but you hadn't been out there yet. What was those first few days like trying to put this ride for yourself together?
Well, it's a struggle. I mean, back then it's the same, you know, not quite as hard as now, trying to get help. And, you know, racing, there's any type of race team, there's several parts to it. It's just not all about a driver. It's not all about a sponsor. It's not all about a crew guy. It's everyone working together. And, you know, you think you're going to be a race car driver like I thought I was going to be, but little did I know that was only a small part of it. You know, somebody had to get this car ready. Somebody had to pay the bills. And so you learn real quick. I mean, I didn't get any type of manual when it was time to go racing. That was one of our weaknesses. We knew how to build the cars. My dad knew how to win races, and we had good people associated with us, but we didn't have we were lacking the sponsorship funds, you know, trying to get the help, and it holds true today. I mean, it's every team crosses this path, and so you learn real quick, and it's a long story how it all got started.
You know, that reminds me of my early days of doing play-by-play broadcasting in the minor leagues. And, you know, you're getting prepared. You're going up there to broadcast hockey games. But they didn't tell you that during the summer you're out selling season tickets. You're selling seats. You're giving guided tours of the facility. You're putting sponsorship packages together on top of having to do everything else. And the fun part was all those dashboard signs having to be taken down by hand, and they're on there so tight with that glue. So I can relate to you, Stevie, that manual was not there. And you walk in and
there's always a lot more work than what it appears to be.
Yeah, and you're thinking, man, this is great. Got that play-by-play job. This is what I want to do. And they don't tell you all the other things that you had to do, especially when I was doing minor league baseball. Well, you were part of the grounds crew on days that it rained. So you threw on old shorts and T-shirts that you wanted to throw away, and you were helping the grounds crew get the tarp onto the field during the middle of the thunderstorm. Oh, it was some great days.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you remember about some of those early sponsorships and sitting down and talking with people to get them on board to sponsor a race car? What do you recall about trying to explain to them what a sprint car is, why it's so exciting, and how fans would enjoy seeing their name on the side of a wing flying by them at 120 miles an hour and then some?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, that was strictly business. I mean, we had people helping us do that later on, but I remember the early days, you know, it was just kind of more or less trying to talk people into helping us, you know, and and that was the interesting part, you know. Can you help us get some tires? Can you help us, you know, get a steering? And that was the part that really, when it comes to the rest of it, the corporate days and you know, you have people, you know, that's a different type, that's a whole different type of business. But the fun times were back when we were trying to, if we couldn't come up with something, I was borrowing it. My first race car, I borrowed the trailer, the truck, the motor, and the steering.
Oh.
That was my first race car.
Wow.
I could get to the racetrack. So, I mean, you know, it's a little different nowadays. It's going to be a lot harder for somebody to make it like that. You know, nowadays it's the younger breed isn't involved as much in the cars. It's the cars are in place. They just jump in the seat and go. I don't really see a lot of younger guys starting with nothing trying to work up. It doesn't seem to even exist. I mean, most of your good young talent, they don't really know a lot about working on the cars. It's kind of sitting there ready for them, and that's just the way racing has changed. The money, you know, it takes money to operate. You don't have the little, you don't have as many little garages and people starting from scratch and being competitive. It's just not happening that way anymore.
True, and do you think that that's sort of changed the way some of the younger kids approach racing today? And also, from your standpoint, is there an age when a person should start to look at wanting to be a race car? Is there such a thing as too old or too young these days?
You know, I don't know. I'll kind of watch it go back and forth. You know, one year the Stewarts and the Canes are after the young guys, and the next year they're after the old guys. And I think I see some really good young talent, and I see that some of the older guys are just still on top of their game. So I don't have a good answer for that. Which way, you know, the best way to go about it is from my standpoint, I'm just going to try to focus on my next 3 years and try to make them the best I've ever had. So, you know, the age is, I don't quite understand it. So I don't have a good answer for that one.
Hey, age is just a number. You know that. I mean, you know,
another number like on a race car.
I mean, we see your dad in the pits. We see Bobby Scruffy Allen in the pits still. Modify guys like Larry Solomon, Sammy Beavers. I mean, these guys, you know, they're up there in age, but they still look like they can race. So really, when you think about it, it's just a number, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's going to be a point. You know, the young guys are going to race hard. But I don't know right now. I see the older guys are darn good. I mean, they're winning a lot of races. And the younger guys are winning their share. And there's some really good talent that hasn't even made it long. They just jump right into the NASCAR. So it's different than it used to be, and it's a lot different.
How much has your driving style and your approach to driving a sprint car changed over your 26-year career, from the first race to coming up on Friday night's season opener at Williams Grove Speedway?
Sprint cars, they're you have to hustle these cars, okay? You're not riding. So I don't really feel that I've changed much at all. I don't think there is change. You know, sprint cars are, you know, they're a pretty aggressive type of race car, and you've got to be, you have to run on the edge, and you have to run hard. And I mean, of course, there are certain tracks where you have to slow down and adapt to that kind of track, you know. But overall, they're still an aggressive type car, so I don't know that you can change much and be competitive. It's pretty much race as hard as you can, you know, most of the time. So I don't really see myself changing that much. I just pretty much try to stay the same and maybe try to make better decisions is one of the things that you learn with experience is sometimes, you know, you try to make better decisions at certain times, and hopefully that'll pay off.
We're talking with Stevie Smith, who'll be bringing back the Black Bandit sprint car this coming Friday night and Saturday at the Williams Grove and Lincoln Speedway as Williams Grove kicks off its season on a Friday evening. And, of course, Stevie is working his way with the CL Motorsports teams towards the Outlaw Tour on 2013. You have 67 World of Outlaw wins. Of those wins, Stevie, any one that still stands out as an exciting finish or a memorable win back in your days with the Outlaws?
Well, you know, every one of them kind of sticks out. That's a pretty tough circuit to win races on, and you know you've beaten some good race car drivers when you win Outlaw races, and you know, I probably just the bigger paying races are the ones that stick out, like the National Open at the Grove and the Don Martin Memorial at Lernerville Speedway. And there's some other ones, especially the ones at Knoxville, you know, those really stick out. Just they're all special. I just know how hard it was to win that many, and I want to add to it. That's all.
Final question for you. So what do you guys look to accomplish over these first few months of the season as the team comes together? You have Brian Bloomfield as the crew chief. What are you guys looking to accomplish before you get into the month of July here in Pennsylvania with Speed Weeks?
Well, I mean, obviously we want to get situated. It's been a long winter for these guys. They've started with nothing. I know in January they were building a workbench for the garage. So they've come a long way. They've actually, they've done a lot of stuff here. And so I think for their sake and my sake, we want to get started and get situated. Now, you know, of course, we're competitive. I mean, we want to go out there and try to win some races, but, you know, we have to get situated. And what I mean by that is let's get a couple races under our belt and focus, and hopefully we have some, you know, good cars and good motors. And I know these guys have bought the best of everything, and, you know, it doesn't always mean everything. I mean, sometimes you still have work to do, and so I'm hoping we can get started off, get a good baseline, and just get ready for, you know, get this month under our belts and get ready for the rest of the season.
Stevie, it's always a pleasure to speak with you, and we look forward to seeing you on Friday night at Williams Grove Speedway for their season opener, and best of luck for the remainder of the 2012 season.
Okay, well, I really appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing, Stevie. Look forward to having you back again in the future. Stevie Smith, the Black Bandit, joining us from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. We'll take a break and come back. We'll head out west and talk a little non-wing racing with California's Bud Kading. That's all coming up next. You're listening to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa is the only sprint car museum in the world dedicated to promoting the future of sprint car racing and preserving the past. Located in Turn 2 of the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, except New Year's Day, Easter, Thanksgiving Day, and Christmas Day. Non-wing sprint cars, historic big cars, open wheel roadsters, and wing sprinters are all on display in the museum, which also features a movie theater and the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. Make plans now to stop by the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum the next time you're in Knoxville, Iowa, or shop our museum store online at www.sprintcarstuff.com. The Hall of Fame and Museum is open from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time Monday through Friday, and from noon to 5 p.m. Central Time on Saturdays and Sundays.
And welcome back to the Sprint Car Show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. We're going to head out west once again to California and bring in third-generation driver Bud Kading to the show. Bud picking up the win the last weekend at Sin City Showdown, that last Thursday night in the USAC ASCS grudge match. And then the same night, his brother Tim goes and wins the World of Outlaw race. Bud, always a pleasure to speak with you, and congratulations on the win last Thursday.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on the show.
That must be pretty neat. I'm sure that you guys have won on the same night before, but being a World Outlaws show and a USAC show, that had to be something pretty fun for you guys to do.
Yeah, definitely, especially at a place and a facility like Las Vegas. The guys there watching the race and the people that were in front of them, and the crowd was pretty good at the same time. You know, it was a lot of fun to have us both get a win on that night.
And for you, a last lap pass. Those are always the most exciting. Tell me a little bit about that feature event, and how did you set yourself up to get in the position to make the pass for the win on the last lap of the race?
You know, something I tried getting around that Brunel there a few times on the outside. The curb was pretty tricky up there, and I kept getting myself bound up on it and almost crashed a couple times and had one last chance at it. My radio wasn't working during the race, so I didn't know that they were telling everybody that they cut the race five laps short. So I thought I had more time, and I got him right there on the white flag lap, and then biked up on the curb again, and he got back underneath me and almost got me back. So as easy as I stole it from him, I almost handed it right back. So it was like I said again, a great feeling to get a win there in Las Vegas.
How quickly does the driver's mind have to change, as you just mentioned, your radio not working, you didn't hear them saying they're cutting down to five laps less than what the scheduled distance was, and all of a sudden you come off a four, and there's the white flag, and you're going after the win. How quickly does your mind start changing to going from, okay, I got time to make the plan, make the execute what I want to do to get past them, to, uh-oh, I got one more circuit around the track here before before they throw the checkers.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, part of my mistake was I was thinking in my head if that was the white flag I just saw or not. And then lucky enough, when I came out of four, I was still in front, and definitely we were coming for the checkers. So, my mistake almost cost me, but just I made the right move after it and just kind of chased my car down to the bottom and allowed didn't allow Ryan to get underneath me and I didn't leave the door open for him to get completely underneath. And then coming off four, I kind of slid up again, and he almost got underneath me going by the line. So two times in a lap, I almost handed it right back to him. So,
but you got the win, and that's what counts in the end. Speaking of wins, last season, maybe not the season you'd like to have had between the USAC West Coast Sprint Car Series, the Silver Crowns, how would you rate your overall performance for 2011?
I'd say that I'd say last year was definitely mediocre for what we had liked to have been doing. We'd like to win more Silver Crown races and more races out in the Midwest, that's for sure. Thought we were going to come up with another victory at the Mowing Nationals there at Knoxville, and got a flat left rear tire lead in the race there with about eight or nine laps to go and crashed leading that race. So, you know, a lot of things seemed like midway through the season, a lot of things just started kind of going the wrong way for us, not getting the finishes that we left going for. You know, we put ourselves in a good position a lot of times and just came out with bad results. So, this year, you know, we've raced quite a bit at this point already, probably about 14 or 15 races, and we've come close to winning a few of them, and we finally got one. So hopefully we can build on that and keep the momentum going for us.
What type of schedule do you have set up for yourself in terms of where you're going to be racing at, and what divisions will you be racing at in for 2012?
We got a little bit of everything going on. It seems like stuff's always changing This weekend we got Tulare Friday and Saturday with the Louisville Outlaws, and then Saturday we'll run both cars. We'll run the with the Outlaws, and then as well with the West Coast 360 Series. So it's like I said, week in, week out, it's not only different cars, different tracks, different series, or different states. There's a lot of different stuff going on with the way I race, and you know, I'm fortunate enough that I got a couple different teams positioned in a couple different spots across the country that I can keep myself pretty busy doing this.
Now, you're a three-time champion of the USAC Silver Crown Division. How many races are you going to be able to do with Silver Crown this year?
Right now, we're kind of up in the air if we're going to run any of them. They've got a bunch of stuff going on with ethanol, and we're looking at what it's going to cost us to change our cars over, engines over, I'm sorry, to be suitable for the ethanol fuel. You know, if it's economical for us to go and do it, then we'll stuff changed over. Get our stuff changed over to go and run it. But we kind of fell in this stump one time with USAC when they made a change in the series, and put a lot of our eggs in the basket with that new Silver Crown car that they had a few years back, and cost a lot of money that's sitting around in our garages. So we go and take our motors right now and change them all over, and then in two or three years, if ethanol's not happy with what's going on with the series and they leave, then we're going to just be stuck with a bunch of motors sitting next to the bunch of old cars that we bought to support the last time they made a change in the series.
Yeah, I still can't figure out, and I hear this from a lot of the different engineers, I hear a lot of it from the drivers, ethanol's not the best for the car. It hurts on gas mileage. It's not great for the engine. So why do people in racing series keep going after ethanol instead of just staying with the traditional methanol gas that everybody's used to?
You know, I really don't know. I'm going to say that it's more ethanol probably going after the series. I'm sure that they may have maybe they got a little bit of money they can put in some of the series. I'm not too sure. You know, it's that's something that isn't really put out in the open. You know, us as competitors that support USAC as a series would think that if there is anything happening there where they are putting money into the series or something, that, you know, we'd know about it, you know, give us some incentive to make these changes or to jump ship or to, you know, jump over to ethanol or get on the ethanol bandwagon. There's a lot of stuff going on that we don't know about. So there's something like that we knew about, like I stated, that it might give us an incentive to change our stuff over.
Well, I can't blame you for taking a wait-and-see attitude, as a lot of people thought. The Silver Crown's one of the most unique divisions in all of a sprint car racing, and I guess the old adage is, if it's not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know?
Especially in these economic times. I mean, we're all struggling to get to the track as it is, and it just seems to get tougher every year, and to go and make a bold change like that, there's got to be some sort of incentive to get us to keep coming back.
We're talking with Bud Kading, of course, son of Brent Kading, and Bud's grandfather racing back in California's back in the 1950s. When you first started racing, Bud, what was the one thing that to this day stands out as the best advice that your father could give you about getting into the sport?
I don't know if my dad gave me the best advice that I've ever gotten, but I just one thing I learned in racing is that you got to treat everybody with some sort of respect, because you never know who your next boss is going to be. And there's been a lot of truth to that. There's been a lot of animosity between drivers and teams, including myself, that one year you didn't like the guy and those guys hated you, and then the next year you found yourself in the seat of the race car. So it's kind of a goofy sport, but that was, if I had to say there's good advice, that was probably the best bit of advice I've gotten.
And you and I were talking off the air before we came on, sponsorship-wise, another area where it's been tough for everybody throughout the country, regardless of whether they're a track promoter or, like yourself, a driver looking for additional sponsorship. Even with a name like Kading that's so well-known and so well-respected, have you found that this year, two parts, is it tougher this year to get the advertising, or are people just maybe holding on to their money a little bit more and taking a wait-and-see attitude as to how the economy is going to go before they commit to supporting a race car driver?
Yeah, I mean, it seems it's been really tough here the last couple of years. We had ourselves a real good sponsor a few years back, 2003 to 2006. Was a mortgage lender, this company, Lone City. And, I mean, they were really big in the mortgage industry. I think they're the eighth largest in the world. And they were making good money, and they took real good care of us. And as soon as the mortgage game started falling apart, they bailed on us and bailed out on the whole industry. They got out of the whole mortgage game. And, I mean, that was kind of, for us, obviously, the beginning of what we are now, where, you know, we have no sponsorship, really. I mean, it's really funded off of a couple of friends that we know that got some money that like myself and like going racing. And that's what keeps us going right now. It's real tough to find any money. Racing seems like it's ran off of loose money. And anywhere you look, it doesn't seem like there's much loose money anywhere these days.
What would you guys like to accomplish this year? What would you say would be success at the end of the season?
I mean, right now, without having a full plan in place as far as Silver Crown goes, I mean, as long as we're competitive and we're winning races, I mean, that's what I'm going to call a successful season. If we end up, you know, sacking up and going and changing all of our engines over for the Silver Crown deal, I mean, it hasn't been done before, but us going for a fourth Silver Crown championship would definitely make a successful season. I mean, that's what we're going to. Right now, if we're going Silver Crown racing, that's what's going to make it a successful season. If we don't, then, I mean, we don't have a goal other than week in and week out to make sure that we're in position to win races.
Bud, always a pleasure to speak with you. We thank you for your time and joining us here on the Sprint Car Show, and all the best of luck for a safe and continued successful 2012 season.
All right. Well, thank you, guys. Thanks, Sean, again for having me on the show. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Sure thing. Bud Kading joining us here on the Sprint Car Show. We'll take a break and be back with more right after this.
At Rod End Supply, they have the unique opportunity to be involved with all sorts of auto racing and performance-related industries, including farming equipment. Whether you're running a go-kart, micro-sprint, midget, modified, late model, sprint car, or a tractor, Rod End Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performing at your maximum potential. Since 1989, Rod End Supply has provided superior products priced competitively with prompt and courteous service. Their promise is to continue to provide superior service with superior products that will keep you in front of your field. To learn more, log on to rodendsupply.com or call Bob Douglas and his staff at 1-800-284-2902. That's 1-800-284-2902. Rod End Supply. They don't just sell them, they race them.
Welcome back to the Sprint Car Show. Special thanks to our guest, Stevie Smith, and to Bud Kading. And we'll be at Williams Grove for the opener on Friday night, so look for some post-race interviews here with a special edition of the Sprint Car Show Friday evening from the season opener at the Williams Grove Speedway. Well, Greg Hodnett picked up his 25th career win at Port Royal Speedway on a Saturday night in the season opener for the Port Royal Speedway. 32 410 sprint cars were on hand, and in the 358 division, it was Pat Cannon picking up the opening day win. Brian Leppel becomes the fourth different driver to win in four races at the Lincoln Speedway, and the new points leader is Danny Dietrich following Saturday afternoon's race. The Mach 1 chassis Mid-Atlantic 360 Sprint Car Series will get underway on Saturday night at Siouxland Grove Speedway. There is a time change. It will now be a 6 o'clock start rather than a 4 o'clock start as it was originally scheduled to be. So the Mid-Atlantic Mach 1 360 Sprint Car Championship, the first of 6 races in the series, now slated to fire off at 6 o'clock on Saturday night at Siouxland Grove Speedway instead of 4 p.m. The Outlaws are back in action this weekend with the Mini Gold Cup at the Silver Dollar Speedway in Chico, California. Donnie Schatz holds a slim 5-point lead over Sammy Swindell in the point standings, and the USAC West Coast 360s are back in action at Bakersfield Speedway. Well, that's all we have for this week's show. Thanks for putting up with us, folks, and getting through this cold and having half of a voice still. We greatly appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you on Friday night with news and notes from the Williams Grove Speedway. And then next Tuesday on the 27th, another new show here on the DirtTrackChannel.com. I'm Sean Wood. You've been listening to the Sprint Car Show. Thanks very much, and we'll talk to you again real soon. So long, everybody.
This has been a presentation of the Dirt Track Channel.